This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good enough. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We bring in super friend of the show. Of course, we've already given you the resume. Eds, Ohio State, Niners, Vikings, Cardinals. He is Alex Boone. What's up, Booney? How are you?
Dude, I'm doing fabulous. Are you excited?
I'm pumped. Now, wait, I got to ask you a question before we start this whole thing, right?
Okay.
You're, what, maybe 13, 14 years old, and you're wearing a size 17 shoe. Tell Phelps how you got tennis shoes back then, who you had to get them through.
I mean, it was terrible. I used to get hand-me-downs from my uncles, my brother, my grandpa. I had, like, the marshmallow shoes. And then one time, true story, Doug Deacon actually donated a pair of cleats for me to St. Ed's. Because he was the only one that could find a pair big enough, but they were orange. So I had to wear orange shoes my entire senior year. Nobody ever caught on to that.
I also heard a story that you may have got a couple of pairs of tennis shoes from the Cavaliers.
I may have a few times, but Coach Flannery hooked it up. I mean, back in the day, I mean, there were so many people that helped me because they would look at my feet and be like, dude, that is terrible. Like, I can't even feel bad for you. That is so big. Like, what do? You're 13 years old, and you're like, do you guys have a 16 on the rack? They're like, nah, dude, we don't carry freak sizes here. I'm like, all right, thank you.
What do you wear now?
I have the same thing, 16, which is so much easier now because it's like people have become more open to big feet. Like, we just came out of nowhere. It's great.
That's
I'm done with the rest of the interview. I just wanted to hear about your feet. That's it.
Not weird.
Not weird at all. This is not awkward. Go ahead. Yes.
Before we get to your Niners in the Super Bowl, George Payton stays in Minnesota. You surprised? You happy? What's the reaction in Minneapolis to that?
I think that people here in Minneapolis are super excited because George is very well known here. George is a brilliant, brilliant man. If I'm in Cleveland, though, I'm panicking, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. When I read this story, George's words were, I'm not sure who's in charge. Okay, listen, guys. I'm going to say this again. It's a football team. It's not hard to run, okay? One guy at the top, people trickle all the way down to the bottom. You have to report to the top guy. But if people start sticking their nose in the business that doesn't belong to them, like they're not coaches and they're like, hey, what are we doing this week? You got to be like, dude, listen, there's the door. Get out. Don't ask again. It's not hard.
Can you come back and just coach the Broncos?
This makes way too much sense to me.
Well, this is what happened. This is the weirdest thing. So they lose to the Niners because they don't run the ball, of course. Like, dude, the one thing you're supposed to do in the game, you only do it 9 times. How hard is it? It's not hard. So I text Stefanski after. I'm like, listen, before you get named the head coach, why don't you come on my show and we'll talk a little bit. So he was like, oh, my God. He must have been like, I know they're like, dude, how does he know I'm getting hired? But I'm not an idiot. I see Cleveland. They love him because he fits the mold that they want. We want to run the ball and play action off of it. We want to make the least amount of mistakes as possible. How do you do that? You run the ball. We have the team for that. They must have seen him from a mile away and loved him.
It's crazy. Hey, so let me ask you this. Do you think that Peyton dropped out because they knew they were going to give the job to Barry, or do you think he said no first?
I think he said no first, and then they kind of played off of that. I think that when it comes to George, you got to really know that he is extremely smart. I've talked to him many times when I was here, and I used to love him because he was so honest and straightforward. And the thing that I loved about him for Stefanski was that he would have been like the backbone for Kevin. He would have been the guy that put down all the rules and implement all these things. Like, hey, listen, the GM's not messing around, okay? He's my guy. I follow him immensely. Like, whatever he says goes. And that's how you follow your discipline track all the way down. When you start going outside the scope of things, you never know what's going to happen.
All right, so let me take that to the next step because now Barry's got a situation. Look, you got the OBJ stuff that he did at the national championship. And this Kareem Hunt stuff, I don't know if you saw the video or not from yesterday about him getting pulled over on Rocky River. And then, you know, we just knew it was that there was a little bit of marijuana based on what the report said last week. But then we saw the video and he had, you know, a bottle of open vodka that was in a backpack in the back seat. There were some other issues going on with the situation. If you're Andrew Barry, how do you set the tone? Do you set the tone in the culture right away with those two guys? Or are you saying to anybody, look, we're going to bring these guys back. We're going to give them a fresh start. And that also means that everybody else here, we're going to play by what set of rules?
I think it's going to naturally be like water under the bridge like it always is. But to be honest with you, if I'm Barry, I'm saying, hey, listen, who's looking to trade? I'm not dealing with this anymore. This is a unique situation. This isn't San Francisco. This isn't San Diego. This is Cleveland. We've been destruction. We've been a dumpster fire for a long time, and I'm going to change that culture. Who wants to trade for two players? I'm willing to get rid of these two players because, number one, they put themselves above the team, which you can never do, and number two, they're careless. They don't care about anybody else. I mean, you talk about OBJ giving money to college kids. You know you put those kids in a predicament now. They could get in a lot of trouble. The school could get in a lot of trouble. It's not about you all the time. Even with Kareem Hunt, you talk about a cop pulling you over, and you're like, hey, man, this is my second chance. I certainly wouldn't be telling a cop, this is my second chance. Don't get me for it, dude. Like, what are you doing? Are you here to play football? Are you here to mess around? Because some of us are really here to play football and win games and inspire a community and use our platform for the good. Not, hey, don't arrest me. This is my second chance.
We've been kicking around the word culture a little bit, Alex. And Alex Boone joining us, former NFL offensive lineman with the 49ers and the Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. And so we've been kicking that word around. You were in San Francisco when Jim Harbaugh came in. And I would think if there was somebody who changed things up, it was Harbaugh. How long did it take for him to instill his culture, Alex, or whatever, and whatever that means to a football team? And did it work and did it last?
Took one day. Dude came in the first day and was like, here's how it's going to go. I played in this league for 15 plus years. I don't care who any of you are. I know everybody else in this league. He was like, this is how the rules are going to go. Number one, you're never to be late to a meeting. If you're late, I'm just going to say make it right and you're going to pay a fine. I don't need an answer. I don't want to hear your stupid answer. I remember exactly. This is a funny story. Now listen to this one. He said, no excuse is a good excuse. True story. Jim Harbaugh has a little heart problem one day. Rush him to the ambulance, take him to the hospital. Everybody's like, oh my God, where's Jim? He's not at practice. Shows up to practice like 2 hours later with like a built-in pacemaker. Like the dude's an animal. Somebody from the back row goes, hey, make it right. No excuse is a good excuse. He paid that fine because he was late. Not even kidding you. When you set the culture from the top, you have to be willing to follow through with it. When you do, players automatically go, I love this dude. I know I'm wrong, coach. You're right. I'll pay the fine. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. Like, he just instilled in us a culture that was like, listen, we're here to win and not do anything but win and have each other's backs. If you can do that, you can ride on my ship.
Wow. How many times were you late?
Zero. I was never late my entire NFL career because I knew, dude, I had Mike Singletary my first 2 years. He told me from day one, the first thing he ever said to me was, I'm going to break you like a wild horse. And I knew. Dude, I got chills just saying that. Like, thinking about Mike Singletary looking at you all by yourself in this room, and he's like, I'm going to break you, son. You were like, oh, my God, I love this guy. But they were right. The culture that they set was right. Listen, we do things the right way. If you don't want to do that, get out. And that's why I always loved Jim and Mike, because they were like, you know what? We don't need you to win. I'll find another guy, a guy that cares more about this team than he does himself.
Wow. Well, how much did you have to grow after leaving Ohio State? I always think that guys that go to OSU have an advantage because of the way the programs run and how close that seems to be an NFL team as far as the way things are operated. How much did you have to grow?
You know what? Surprisingly, when it came to the game, not a lot, because I was fortunate to have pro coaches around me in the college, but maturity level, a ton. And I was thankful for guys like Mike Singletary and Jim Harbaugh that didn't deal with any nonsense. And we're like, hey, listen, son, this is a privilege to be here. This isn't a right. You don't belong here. You earn the right to be here. Jim every day used to remind us, listen, nothing is taken for granted. You can lose your spot tomorrow if you don't show up. And that's what the competition and amongst the team was huge, and it drove the best out of everybody because it was like, listen, I could lose my spot today to him, and I don't want to do that. I want to go out and show that I'm a man. You know, I work hard. I do what I got to do. Guys getting in trouble, as soon as you got in trouble, the coach is like, he's gone. He is clearly not understanding why we're doing this. And looking back, I agree with it.
Then you went to Minnesota. Mike Zimmer seems to be a no-nonsense guy. Then you went to Arizona. Bruce Arians seems to be a fun, no-nonsense guy. What did you learn from those guys that you maybe didn't already know that if you could say something to Kevin Stefanski, hey, do this that Zimmer did, do this, and of course he knows what Zimmer did, do this what Arians did. Anything like that, Alex?
I mean, I think it's just walking the walk and talking the talk. If you claim that you're going to treat the top guy that way, you have to treat everybody else that way. I think that this is a new culture of players. And when you look at these teams – guys are saying, hey, listen, you let him go do that. No, I'm going to go do it because you let him do it. And then sometimes that works. The coaches like the Bill Belichicks and the Mike Zimmers, those are the guys that are like, no, it's not going to work because we're here to play football. We're here to do things right. We're here to be disciplined. You see these guys when they make mistakes. They're upset. They get angry. They yell at you. They're not afraid to cuss you out in front of players. At times, you're going to be humbled, and that's okay because this is football. That's what you need to be. You need to be humbled. We're not gods. You're a human. Let me show you. I'm going to yell at you in front of everybody.
How much of that culture is dependent on the upper, like the veterans? And Jeff and I were discussing this before, too. When you're trying to change a culture, and I thought it was interesting, you said, Jeff said it takes years. I said it can be established by senior leadership inside a locker room or a clubhouse. You said one day, and I was like, wow.
With the right coach one day.
Yeah, with the right coach one day. But how much of that is dependent on players, especially older players, veteran players in a locker room?
A lot of it. A lot of it. Because the older players are the ones that the young guys are going to look up to, right? Like, I remember coming to the locker room, I remember seeing guys like Barry Sims, who played in a Super Bowl, to Keo Spikes, who played 16 years and never even made the playoffs. And you would see those guys, and they paid attention to every single word the coach said. They took notes on every single thing. And I remember they looked at me. To Keo Spikes looked at me and was like, bro, you want to play here forever? Take notes and pay attention and shut your mouth. But that's what they were about. They were about coming to work, doing your job, being a good teammate, being somebody that everybody could lean on when it's tough. Listen, I don't have all the answers, but when it gets tough, guys, you lean on me. Tequila Spikes taught me that. And then all of a sudden you look around, you see all these guys, all these older guys doing the same thing. And every year the young guys would trickle in and out because they weren't paying attention. They're not taking notes. They're not respecting the discipline. Oh, I can go out and do this. It's just a Tuesday. Nobody will catch me. Dude, everybody's watching. Everybody, pay attention.
Alex, give me some insight into this. You were on the same team with Kevin Stefanski when Kevin's coaching in Minnesota. He doesn't have Harbaugh's background. No, he can't come in and say, hey, I played 15 years. He doesn't have that. How can he come in and establish his culture as quickly as possible?
Like I said, you got to, if you say it day one, you got to do the same thing day 1,000. Whatever you say, you have to stick to your guns. You cannot let people run all over you. And right now, I hate to say this, but people are kind of running all over you, Kev. You just got hired. Like, the one time you don't want any problems, because nobody wants their head coach to have to come in and drop the hammer, right? Nobody wants to do that. We all want to come in and be happy. Hey, new culture, we're going to do this. You guys are forcing Kevin to do this now. You have literally forced his hand to say, hey, listen, I can't let the rest of the team know that I'm going to let you punk me. So now I have to set down guidelines, which sucks because Kevin's a great guy. And to me, he's going to need some people around him to help him, because that also is a huge contributor of how the veteran leadership sees you. Because when you put guys in the right positional coaches, well, then all of a sudden things start feeding and breeding out into the rooms, right? Like, coaches are pushing it, then the leaders are pushing it, then the young guys start pushing it. Then you have a great team.
All right, I'm assuming you're rooting for the Niners. Is that a fair statement?
That'd be a fair statement. Yes, it would.
Okay, and what do the Niners need to do to win the Super Bowl?
Listen, you got to stop Patrick Mahomes, no matter what. You have to – this kid, I was watching this game last night against the Titans again, because – the way that they come back in the playoffs, for whatever reason, just impresses the hell out of me. Because when you're down 24 points in a playoff game, and I know you're at home, it is so hard to claw your way out of that. And the way that Patrick Mahomes can do it so easily and make it look so like, wow, just a random day, guys, let's go have some fun, like, that is dangerous. And the fact that he can make second plays with his feet and run around and scramble and do all this, that's huge for them. But importantly for the Niners, they have to run the ball. You've got to be able to run the ball to win this game.
All right, Alex, next time I see you, I expect you to be wearing orange shoes.
For sure, dude. I appreciate it.
I'm sure they don't smell too bad either at this point.
Not at all. I might have had them bronze. Don't tell anybody.
Nice. Goodbye, Alex. Thank you, man.
Alex.
We appreciate it.
See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.